Following audio is a stream of semi-organized nonsense known as the Ooh Travel Guide. That is, a podcast about the television cartoon Adventure Time, made entirely by fans, that's people like you, the listener, and for fans, also people like you, discussing their opinions and theories and speculations and intense emotional feelings about these characters like a bunch of nerds at a convention. So kick back and relax, listen to them talk, and for love's sake, enjoy the podcast.
Yeah. What time is it?
It's podcast time!
Onion, this show is an onion with layers.
This show is an onion of fantastic, apocalyptic awesomeness.
I can't believe I almost started this podcast with a Diet Coke.
Alright then. So, welcome to episode 2 of the Ooh Travel Guide. I am your host, Black Catula, and joining me tonight in the fabulous circle of guests, let's just start in reverse alphabetical order. Miss Zextrin, would you introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Kristen, or Zextrin, whichever you prefer, and I'm here to talk about cartoons.
Yay!
I'm just a fan fiction writer, and they asked me to join the podcast, so here I am.
All right, excellent. Also joining us, Fauxboy. Lovely, lovely Fauxboy.
Hey, I'm Faux, or Ryan. You probably know me from my Adventure Time fan comics, Cold Shoulder, and several others, maybe. But, yay, I'm here. Sitting here dancing in my chair while I'm doing my intro. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right. Also in the chair tonight with us, Naki.
Hi, guys. Thank you very much for inviting me back. You guys probably know me from Tumblr as Naki Otsuno. And I'm super excited to have a talk with you guys about Adventure Time, as always.
Yes, yes. And once again joining us, Renegade Pineapple.
Hey, everyone off in Radioland. I'm Renegade Pineapple. I'm just a humble, sugarless gum author, and I'm so glad to be back on this podcast.
Because we love having you so much.
Thank you, man.
You bet. Also returning with us tonight is Becca.
Hey guys, it's wonderful to be back here. I'm Becca, or for my good friends, Becca. I just do some Adventure Time fan art, do like fluffy stuff into the more like questionable material, but I enjoy it, and it's nice to talk to you guys again.
Sweet. Very, very sweet. Alrighty. So, we are here to talk tonight about Fiona and Cake, and yeah, let's do that. So let's just look down the list here. Yeah, it looks like the one on the top is a lot of people did not like the fact that the episode was more about romance than fighting zombies and kicking butts and fart jokes as usual. So I guess let's start with that.
Well, the episode did have two fight scenes, actually. It was with Finn and Jake. We've had three seasons to play around with them and explore every single facet of their personality. But with Fiona and Cake, we're jumping in head first, knowing only that they're gender bends, and that perhaps they're not exactly the same, but close enough for us to already be able to like them.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to fit in, you know, Finn's romance with the princesses and all his butt-kicking action. Almost said butt-cracking, because I'm an adult. And I think that while it did seem a bit too shippy, it didn't seem more focused on relationships than an episode like Go With Me, which didn't even have didn't have a single fight scene, I don't think.
No, but it did have a running with wolves scene.
That was pretty intense, yeah. But that was something of
you could classify that as a date if you really wanted to, you know, if you wanted to skew things. So it's all in the eyes of the beholder.
Well, you said that people consider the episode more shippy, and I have to kind of agree, but I have this nagging feeling that the reason people see that episode as being so far more shippy than episodes like Go With Me or some of the Finn episodes is because it is female protagonist centered, and that switch over from male to female protagonist in adding a romantic affiliate, it kind of puts it in people's minds that this is romantic and not fighty because of the female aspect.
Right.
Yeah, I agree. That's kind of the reason why I feel people classify it as being more shippy of an episode. Even though again, as Extran has said, there have been other episodes that are significantly more shippy. If you just look at it specifically in terms of what happens in that episode, there are definitely episodes that are more shippy. But that's a very interesting thing that most of the fans have taken this female protagonist and this relationship between her and Gumball as being much more romantic than Finn and Bubblegum.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point.
I think another reason that the fans really latched on to the shipping aspect of the Fiona and Cake universe is because while we have seen so many episodes of Finn and Jake kicking zombie butts, the first thing you see coming into Fiona and Cake is romantic interest. That is basically the direct plot line. And I think having that be the only episode of that character having been like the Gumball and the Ice Queen romantic tussle, it really does hit home that the Fiona and Cake characters are of the mindset of relationships.
Mm. Yeah, that's a great point.
Well, in the pilot episode, where Finn's name is Penn, I think.
Yes.
You do see that like he has a crush on Princess Bubblegum. It's not as obvious as let's go on a date. But by the time Fiona and Cake rolls around, you can see that there's an established relationship there already.
So I wonder if it's easier for the fans now, in retrospect, at the end of season 3, to say that it's more that there's not like the correlation between Finn and Bubblegum, because Bubblegum has like pretty much flat out rejected him, and so there's that hindsight where you can look at it and say, well, no, like, you know, Fiona obviously has more romantic feelings towards Prince Gumball than Finn does for Princess Bubblegum.
You could definitely look at it that way. Interesting point, though, that I'd like to tack on to the end of that. When the episode ended, we saw that it ended with Fiona actively rejecting Prince Gumball's advance, at the real Prince Gumball, not the Ice Queen Prince Gumball. And she goes on to say that the reason she has so many guy friends but not a boyfriend is because she's not necessarily ready, and she'll come back to it if and when she wants to. So, you know, there's also that to take into account. Never mind the fact that throughout the entire romance sequence, you can see that she's completely awkward about it, and at several points she tries to bail on it or skip out. She obviously doesn't like wearing a dress or carrying a purse, so I definitely feel that that they did a good job maintaining the Adventure Time mindset about the awkwardness of romance and things like that.
Yeah.
I am slightly inclined to disagree. While I agree with that point, I don't feel as though it got super awkward until that last, like, chamber scene where things were getting, like, a little adult. Because
while
little sing songs and they landed in the flowers and we're talking and it's like, oh yeah, it was a date. It was like an excited awkward. It didn't get like a bad awkward until the kind of rapey part.
Yeah, that was super.
That creeped me that plop out. I mean, you say the thing is like you saw it coming a mile away and you're like, oh god, no, wait, what? No, you can't be doing this. Ah, cover my eyes. You know.
Yeah, I honestly felt as though it wasn't really Adventure Timey to have sort of that kind of really adult turnaround, while at the same time maintaining that urgency and subtlety. Like the subtlety broke a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. It seemed way too in your face for what we're used to. I think that's probably what threw me off the most, is how is this like, whoa, really? Like, yeah, definitely.
I felt as though that particular scene could have been handled in a more Adventure Time way, with the subtlety and the wraparound and then the twist. It kind of just
I didn't see a point for it at all either. Like, there could have been a million other things. She could have just been in there. She goes, hey, I want to show you, the Ice Queen disguised as Prince Gumball, say, hey, I want to show you something, and then take her to a trap, not, like, What even? I don't even know where to begin with that.
Honestly, purely from a you know, storytelling perspective, the reason I think that they did that is because that's where the episode started. And honestly, I think it's as simple as that. And I agree, they should have, they could have handled it better, because it was really, got really uncomfortable really quickly. But I think that's probably why they did it that way. Or at least that's my devil's advocate thought.
I'm not sitting here kind of like chastising the Adventure Time team, because there are aspects about that wraparound, like how you said, how it comes back to the beginning, that I enjoyed. I just felt as though they could have had that signature subtlety attached to it without it being quite so forward.
Very blunt. I agree with you, definitely.
Yeah, I definitely concur on that. That said, I'm still completely enamored that they put such a crazy sequence
in there. I'm surprised that the censors let it go through. Seriously.
Yeah,
exactly. And if there's one thing that Adventure Time is good at, it's pushing the limits of what the censor is going to allow on Cartoon Network.
Oh, that's definitely what keeps me tuning in every week.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
I don't know. Being like a film major, I know all these little things, and the way that they handled it was just the classic rape scene setup. You know, the hand creeping towards the door, the flowers on the bed, and then the slowly undressing thing. I mean, anybody who's anybody in industry knows what that leads to. So I don't know how that they could just let that slide with the way it was presented. It just blows my mind.
Well, getting away from the censor bar thing, I really enjoyed how that connected with Ice Queen's character, especially in that final scene where it is getting a little strange. The differences between the two universes are very apparent at that last part. Especially with the characterization of the gender bents and how they are, it clearly is a very different set of personalities we're dealing with, not just strict gender bents.
Exactly.
It's having that evil aspect of not just kidnapping or taking. It's a very it's almost cerebral. It's getting all in your brain. Messing with your feelings and pulling on your heart guts and such. It's so different from what we've seen from Ice King, and the way that Fiona has to deal with it is obviously different than how Finn has to deal with Ice King. And I like having that difference between the two universes, because it really helps. Not only does it help drive the characters, it is such a great little bone for the fans. To go off with all this, me personally, I write fan comics based on the AU, but...
Yes, same here. Same here.
The Ice Queen is a wonderfully twisted villain. She's actually someone that I would be afraid of. And the Ice King is scary in his own way, but you can get the feeling from the writers that they want you to feel a little sorry for him, especially after Holly Jolly's secrets. But with the Ice Queen, I mean, until we see further, all we can see is that she's fantastically treacherous.
Yes, indeed. All right, I believe it is Becca's turn to speak.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with, all the points that were made. Let's say, Jen and Brent's are definitely different. There's so many different little nuances between each character, how they all react to different situations. There's, Ice Queen, we said, that she is very evil. She went past physical hurting and she went into the psychological, and that can be really scary, trying to set that kind of scene up, like she did locking the door and having the petals on the bed. That could be a really scary way to get to somebody, and she's incredibly evil. So yeah.
Yes, absolutely, and that's kind of one of the reasons why I like to portray her as sort of a sadistic character, I guess is the right word for it. She likes to deal pain to people, whether it's actual physical pain or mental pain or general mind screw. It's that's the way I like to write her.
You don't see that with the Ice King.
Yeah, Exactly. I mean, Ice King's whole world is a mind screw unto himself. I mean, he's got the stanky old wizard eyes. He can't see. He doesn't know what's real and what's fake half the time anyway. So seeing the tables twisted around for the gender bent version is really impressive.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the next thing that the fans didn't really, that kind of split the fans on both sides of the fence, was the fact that the ending was a fan fiction.
I would like to put my two cents into that particularly.
Okay.
I feel as though that the ending was crafted in such a way that it makes you both love and hate people who write this show, because I personally really liked that it was kind of a fan fiction type thing, because it nods to the fans that they understand, and with the content of the episode, it not only allowed people to be able to produce fan content, it was inviting fan content by ending it with actual fan fiction. And then also, they love to tease us and dangle what we want in front of us and then just be like, ha, no.
Yes, indeed.
And we love them for it. It's a sadistic, masochistic relationship.
Yep, battle of love, hate. Oh.
Yes. Yes, I want that. No, you took it away from me. No, please give it back. Yes, please. Ow, no.
Playing with fire, that's what we're doing.
Oh, man.
All right, Pineapple, you had something you wanted to add?
Oh, yeah. Well, I have to say that I'm definitely one of those people that's a little put off by the whole fanfiction ending. Just because I can't, like, openly ship the gender bends, because they're not, you know, canonically correct in my head, because technically they don't exist. And I'm like, why? Why? It's just not cool. But just because I'm a butt when it comes to sticking with original story plots and yada, yada, yada. But, yeah, no, I totally am really glad that they decided to give us that little nod. And it gave me feels, but I was just like, no, why?
Exactly. All right, Naki.
Okay. I think I actually really love that it was a fan fiction ending, because there's that really threw a wrench into the middle of the fandom for the entire Adventure Time fandom, because I feel like a lot of the issues that people have with it are because it's a fan fiction in either one way or the other. Like, it's a fan fiction and there, I don't like it because the characters weren't believable enough, or the characters weren't, like Finn and, that whole, you know, the canon universe, or it was a fan fiction and I loved it because it was such a great nod to the fans and it was so true to a lot of fan fiction tropes. So that in and of itself, and watching the fan reaction to it, is really, really, really interesting to me. And that's one of the things I really like about the episode.
Yes.
Half of the greatness of Adventure Time is the fan reaction to everything. How much the company pays attention to us and interacts with us. You know, of course Adventure Time is great on its own, but the fact that half of it is up to our own imaginations is what really makes it great.
Mm-hmm. They leave a lot of it up to fan speculation, and that's really awesome, and that's... Frankly, that's what this podcast is, really.
Yeah.
We're filling in all the gaps for...
it's very professional of them as well. I mean, the way they handled the bubbling questions, they said, you know, they said outright, we have every right to ship characters, and they don't, you know, they didn't have a stand on it. I think it was a very professional, you know, way to handle it. They understand us, and they understand we're going to do what we want to do, I mean, in respect to them, but... You know, they know how to handle it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a really beautiful thing too. It's it shows that they're aware and active within their own fandom, and you don't see that very often in a lot of things. I think the last thing I saw that in, which I'm pretty sure we made this comparison on the previous podcast, I think the last time I saw that was Avatar: The Last Airbender.
Yeah.
Where they'd actually go in and make direct jokes at the fans. Yeah.
Well, I think the difference is that with Avatar and with Adventure Time, they actually are interacting and paying more attention to the fandom, as opposed to like My Little Pony, which doesn't necessarily. I mean, like the creators themselves don't specifically interact with the fans. It's more the company interacts with the fans, and that's very, very different.
Yeah. Hugely, yes.
But anyway.
We're all full of hugs and cuddles. Adventure time! Yay! We love everyone!
And
look at all
the
shipping! Oh, and pretty art! Oh, and the writers are so nice! Oh, no!
I do have to say, Adventure Time is like one of the most welcoming and well-behaved fandoms I have ever been a part of.
Mm-hmm.
You're so nice. I like being a part of this fandom.
Very drama.
Man, this fandom has totally changed my life. It really has. It's great.
Oh, well, that's good to know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so much love.
Have we discussed Snow Bunny yet?
No, but it's on the list. Let's bring it on.
Hold your rainicorns, girl.
Let's not kid ourselves. We're a group full of shippers. Let's talk about Snow Bunny. Yay!
All
right. I think the reason that a lot of people started shipping that was because it has that same aspect of loneliness that the Ice King has, how the Ice King is very, like, desperate for Finn's attention, even as much as he is for a princess's attention, and sometimes in more. And but it's taken to a whole other level because the Ice Queen obviously is... I mean, how many dates have been on the show? There's been Finn and Princess Bubblegum and, like, Clarence and Ghost Princess and Fiona and the Ice Queen. Even if it was under evil pretenses, I still count it.
Absolutely.
That I think, is a very good point to make. The entire episode was kind of a date between Fiona and Ice Queen, albeit in disguise. And I think it's that move right there that kind of propels a lot of some of the Snow Bunny stuff.
Yes, absolutely.
And the Ice Queen, obviously under disguise as Prince Gumball, sings Fiona a song.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yes.
You know, if you go and look at that song, you know, word by word, you know, it's a cute love song, and I sing it all the time, and it's beautiful, and I love it. But then when you put it under the context of Snow Bunny, it takes a whole different meaning, and I'm just like, you know, because my shipper heart can't take it.
I love the turnaround between Ice Queen being evil as Ice Queen and then Ice Queen being loving and nice and caring and cute in disguise. Like, being able to hide the fact that she is Ice Queen lets her be able to be what is seemingly truer to herself, but then having to have that disrobement and having to show who she actually is and how it affected her personality going in and then just being completely evil again. I love that kind of back and forth between her.
Yes. Yes, that's a pretty cool aspect of it. I definitely agree.
I feel like nothing was real until I met you. You know, the Ice Queen's obviously immortal, like the Ice King is, and probably has been drifting along in this kind of limbo, looking for the gender-bent version of Betty, which, I don't know, let's call it Benny. And obviously she's creeping on Gumball all the time, but... just like the Ice King, her real rival and the one that she wants most attention from is Fiona, or comparatively, Finn. I mean, even the whole backdrop is the Ice King's writing a fan fiction about Finn, gender bent, going on a date with his gender bend.
Yeah, that makes me wonder so many things, but I'm not going to go into that here.
Well, another thing about that relationship between Fiona and Ice Queen is that the entire episode past the 4.5 minute mark didn't even need to happen. She had Gumball in his... Nobody knew she had Gumball. She could have just not shown up at the garden and then run away with Gumball. So having that entire little date portion was completely unnecessary, but happened, and that makes me happy.
We all know she has secret motives. We all know what that was about.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. 100%. I like to point it back to the whole sadistic part. I mean, especially with dealing with mind games. I mean, I think it's... It just to me, it feels like she would be the type of person who kind of gets a thrill out of having people resist her and having the way I can't see Ice Queen any other way than someone who likes to take turns dominating and submitting to someone just to play with their head, just for the reaction that it gets out of them. I just see her as a type of person who enjoys seeing these people in such not pain, but
uncomfortable.
Well, for Ice Queen, it's not really about the payoff. It's about the chase and that,
yes,
like that connection that she has with, let's assume that the majority of time it's with Fiona, because Fiona is the Ice Queen's antithesis, or you know, what have you.
Yes.
I think one of the main differences that you can draw between Ice Queen and Ice King is that Ice King is always directly at the end result and doesn't think things through. And Ice Queen thinks things through so much that she doesn't need the end result.
That is exactly what I was trying to say.
Exactly.
100%.
Yeah.
And I agree. Yeah, I just can't see her as being anything other than the person who is obsessed with the entire process of it, the thrill of the chase, basically. I mean, that's what cougars do, right? They live for the chase. This is what it's all about.
I think the word you're looking for is cold and calculating.
Ooh, beautiful.
Anyway, going back to the song and, dissecting that a little bit further, if you want to get super literal about it, and we're going under the assumption that the universes are exactly the same up until this point. There was that episode where Ice King's heart, Ricardio, came out of his body, and Finn literally punched him. And so there's that line in the song, your fist has touched my heart. Literally punched.
Oh my gosh!
Yes. So
wow.
Her fist has literally touched her heart.
Yeah, so as much as you talk, it's better and better. You can watch it a million times.
So this just gives more credence to the fact that this is not the Ice Queen pretending to be Gumball singing, but the Ice Queen actually singing to Fiona.
Yes. And even you want to add another layer to that, it's the Ice King writing about the Ice Queen singing to Fiona, who is actually Finn.
Oh my god.
Sweet Jesus.
Yep.
Onion. This show is an onion with layers.
This show is an onion of fantastic apocalyptic awesomeness.
Polar Bear just became canon somehow.
Dude, a polar bear has always been canon.
Wow.
It's always been canon for me.
Oh wow.
Oh my god.
Just never wanted to say it, but oops, cake's out of the bag now.
I thought it was basically canon that the Ice King has sort of a crush on Finn. I thought that was just like,
it's a manly crush.
I don't think it's a crush so much as a
No, he just wants to be bosom buddies with the dude. He's lonely, man. He wants a friend.
The only thing is we just don't wanna ship it because, like, you know, they're not hot.
Yes, the double standard.
It's not weird, it's just that they're not hot, because it's no more weird than Ice Queen Fiona. It's just that it's a bit of a double standard.
Yeah, and they you can tack the random kiss at the end of thank you to that.
I love that kiss.
It was adorable. It was absolutely adorable. And but nobody really ships it. Nobody really pointed it out in a shipping kind of way. It's definitely a double standard thing.
I think just no one wanted to touch it. I mean, like, you know, seriously.
Sure.
It has a lot of unfortunate implications.
I think there's a very big discrepancy between how the fans view the characters in that shipping aspect, because with Finn and Ice Queen or Ice King, it's weird because shipping Finn, a lot of people can't really do it because of the age thing. And when you're going into the gender bent universe and you're seeing these characters for the first time in that romantic setting, it becomes easier to accept the fact that the characters are completely different because Fiona is perceived as older or more mature via the content of the episode, having that like canon date aspect being the first thing you see in that alternate universe, it makes shipping so much easier to accept, especially between Ice Queen and Fiona, because you don't have that mental stigma that is preventing you from being like, Finn's 13 and Ice King is weird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like the show itself seems to discourage Finn shipping. I mean, beyond Fire Princess, like they were basically like, ship this. They gave it to us in a box, and they
wrapped it up into a beautiful box on a silver platter, and it was fantabulous.
Yes, and then they put it in front of us and gave us a big kiss on the forehead and said, "Here, this is for you."
And then they tucked it precious. In and read it a bedtime story, and everything was wonderful.
And there was glitter and rainbows everywhere, and nothing hurt anymore. Or however that goes.
Dude, that's my line, not fair.
You didn't say it. So, actually, this might be unless somebody has something else they want to add, this might be a good point to jump off into the next point. Did Fiona seem more sexualized as a female lead character?
Yeah, sure. I remember bringing this up, and the way I said it may have not seemed very articulated very well. I didn't think she was incredibly sexualized, but I did feel like, you know, she was a girl and the romance was kind of brought upon the fact that she was a girl rather than, I mean, despite the fact that regular Adventure Time has had romantic episodes, I feel like they kind of pushed it on because she was a girl, and I see a lot of people shipping her with other people when it seems so easily done because she's a girl. And I mean, I think that maybe that has something to do with it, maybe it doesn't, but it's just something I've noticed.
Well, there is kind of like a double standard with having the female protagonist. She's just more likely to be, it is easier to see Fiona as victimized than it is Finn because she is female, and that's just kind of how it boils down.
Sad but true.
It is very true.
Yeah.
And I guess that wraps back around to the Snow Bunny thing. It's easier to see her as a victim in that case.
Yeah.
Simply because, well, she's a female hero, and, you know, here's Prince Gumball in the bedroom locking the door.
And being really creepy, like...
He did have some creepy faces during that scene.
Not even, like, yeah,
honestly,
like...
if I think if that scene had happened in the regular universe, if Bubblegum had been creepy and locked the door behind Finn, it would have seemed like, oh, she's about to perform some weird experiment or something science-y was gonna about to happen. It wouldn't have had that same uncomfortable, weird feeling because of the double standards through the genders.
I disagree completely with that point. I would still be, oh my god, what is about to happen, regardless of gender.
I would kind of freak out about it, but it wouldn't have been nearly as uncomfortable if it had been in the regular universe, and I kind of stand by that. It's an unfortunate gender double standard.
Okay, that's pretty far off enough of a tangent, I think. okay, so the one last thing that I wanted to touch on this whole entire Fiona and Cake subject is the fact that they have hinted and mentioned the second episode.
I know!
Well, it's been kind of sort of unofficially confirmed, hasn't it, through interviews with other people. Like, it's not been confirmed, but it's been hinted at so strongly, I think it's safe to assume that we're going to have a Marshall Lee episode eventually.
Yes, it's what they've basically said is we haven't confirmed that we're writing one, and we haven't confirmed that we're not writing one, but if we did, it would probably be about Marshall Lee, is what they've said.
Through what has been posted online through FormSpring answers and interviews with people associated, I think it's a very safe bet that we are in store for a second episode.
I think it's very possible. I mean, it's obvious. It would obviously be a very lucrative move as far as fandom goes. I mean, they're gonna eat that up like mad.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, how do they approach it? I mean, they already used the fanfiction ending the first time, so are they just going to use that same ending for it? Or, I mean, are they going to switch it up somehow? I know the Adventure Time writers love to revisit topics, but switch them up.
I think it was you who brought it up one of the times that in the Adventure Time comic, it was seen that Ice King was writing more fan fiction.
Yes.
So I think that'd be like a very accessible way to enter it, but knowing the Adventure Time staff, they could completely blow us away and maybe do something we're not expecting with how they're going to bring that about and how the universes are going to relate to one another.
Exactly.
Because honestly, all you have to say is magic and anything is possible. They could totally coincide the two universes if they really wanted to, just by saying a pixie blew magic dust on Ice King's fanfiction.
A wizard did it.
Yeah, a wizard did it.
Yeah, pixie dust, magic dust, yeah.
Door lords, multiverses, they could figure it out if they really wanted to.
Indeed.
And then, of course, there's that whole thing with Lord Monochrome and his magical horn with, you know, all that good stuff.
I don't know if that's actual canon or not.
Well,
I know that's a popular fan theory all of a sudden, but I don't know if that was
it could happen. I mean, you know, they could just pull it out of a hat and be like, hey, happy birthday, you know?
Alternatively, because the world does take place in a post-apocalyptic universe where a lot of the quote-unquote magic is actually radioactivity, there could be a scientific explanation for multiple parallel universes and string theory and all of that, and maybe Princess Bubblegum makes a portal to another world. Who knows? And then Finn and Fiona have to save it. Woohoo! Or something. I don't know.
Honestly, there is a plethora of ways they could throw this bone to the fans. It's just, it's going to determine on how much they're going to dangle in front of us first.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. That's really what it all comes down to.
And that's if the second episode even gets off the air. Or, I mean, off the board.
That's
off the drawing
board. True. Let's all cross our fingers for a spinoff.
Oh, hell yeah. That's one... Okay, so one thing, when Fiona and Cake first came out, I was like, I am enjoying this so much right now. I want there to be an entire season of just Fiona and Cake. And it can just be like, every episode is a fan fiction that's read to Finn, who's frozen in a block of ice, and I'm the happiest person. Dead serious.
He's just, it's all the same day. He's just been frozen in ice for like a week.
Mm-hmm.
And Ice King.
I would watch the ever-loving shit out of a show like that.
Yeah.
Bring it right on. Like, I'm already enjoying every second of Adventure Time as it is, but if it was Adventure Time with Fiona and Cake all the time, my God. Just try and stop me.
Now here's a little food for thought. If in so happens that there was a spin-off or they just dedicated a random season to Fiona and Cake, what would that mean for and how they brought the content of the first episode? How do you think that's going to translate to multiple episodes or maybe a season or a spin-off with how much effort they put into the relationship aspect? Would we see more of a kind of a shippy, relationship-y type cartoon with some like badass ass kicking, or do you think they would take it any more Adventure Time route and start focusing more on like stuff that's happening as opposed to character relationships?
That's a really great question.
That is a really great question.
If I may just take the time to answer, I think they would probably push it in more regular Adventure Time sort of direction. I mean, given the fact that that's kind of what the writers do as it is, they just pick a direction and run with it. Like, and it can be any single direction they choose. As we've seen with season 3, they've taken it in so many different directions throughout the whole season. I mean, we had episodes like No One Can Hear You, where it's like everything is just completely unsettling horror mysteries, you know, suspense sort of thing. We hadn't really seen an episode like that before that was quite that unsettling. So, and then of course we had episodes like Too Young and Go With Me, which were more shippy and humorous in that regard. And then we had what do they call those? The bottleneck episodes, where not a lot actually happens, but they made an entire episode about that. They did that in Marceline's Closet and Still.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not a lot happens in both episodes, but you know, it didn't really necessarily feel Adventure Time, even though it still did. It's taking it in a different direction. So I think they'd probably do that. I think they'd probably look for different ways that they could write different stories.
Okay.
I mean, I can touch upon that a little bit. I mean, from what we've already seen with the original you know, everyday Adventure Time. I mean, since Finn is, you know, growing up each season, we see that they're leaning towards relationships and whatnot, you know, anyway. So I think that it would be fair to say that if there was a Fiona Cake spinoff, that they probably would go in the same direction and just, you know, bounce around between maybe a good heaping of butt kicking and then, you know, kissy kissy stuff.
I feel like that with the character dynamics and how like the characterization between Cake, Fiona, and Ice Queen are so radically different. I feel as though that if they were to expand on the alternate universe, they would probably have a little bit more focus on the being a hero and how that relates to their everyday lives. Because you see in Adventure Time, Finn having like the like in the Billy episode where he's like, I really want to be a hero, and he tries to be more like Billy. But you don't see a lot of that. Adventure Time has this feeling that Finn is bound to do great things when he's older. And like we're seeing kind of the prequel and how he grew up to become that person. I feel as though how much more evil Ice Queen is and how much the characters relate to one another in the alternate universe, that the growing up would have to happen a little faster, and we'd see more of the struggles as Fiona, as this young heroine growing up in that sort of environment. And it feels to me with the characters that being a hero will be more important in that alternate universe than it is right now in Adventure Time.
I think so entirely, yes.
I wonder if they're going to introduce Fire Prince.
That would be kind of cool.
Yeah, it would be like, cool.
I kind of hope they don't, because we just got over the whiplash of emotions that was the whole dating fiasco dealy with the Fiona and Cake episode. So I hope the next episode of Fiona and Cake deals a lot more with her heroics than with the shipping potential, even though that would be pretty great.
Well, if I remember right, one of the abandoned storyboard arcs appeared to be a sequence of Marsha Lee falling and bleeding and or crying or something, with
what?
Fiona grasping him.
Where'd you see that?
I'm pretty sure that it was Natasha. Natasha.
That was on Natasha Allegra's blog.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if that was official or not.
I think it was abandoned. I think it was abandoned. Like
it might have been like a pitch.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, okay.
Exactly.
Wait. Oh, I'm sorry, I zoned out. Are we talking about that animation?
No.
Or a picture?
No. The animation was fan done.
I was like, I totally zoned out. I just remember that Bleeding Marsha Lee was in that animation, and I'm like, wait, what? What?
yeah, it was. It appeared to be like an abandoned storyboard or something that may have been pitched in the beginning.
Yeah, and that kid who animated that short just took that idea and like played with it in their animation.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. I did not know that. I did not see that storyboard.
It was something Natasha drew, and I don't know if it was supposed to be pitched or if it was just her kind of perusing ideas with Marsha Lee, but I don't think we can take that into account, although I do hope that the next episode of Fiona and Cake does revolve around Marsha Lee, and not in like a shippy way, but in like a heroic way. Mm-hmm. That would be really cool.
But I just want to take a minute to point this out. I think that if they do, it probably will be. From what I see that picture of bleeding Marsha Lee, I can't see anything other than there's a scene in Spirited Away where Chihiro and Kohaku are falling together and the tears are flying up from their faces as they're falling, and that's the only thing that I can see when I see that.
Oh, I know what you guys are talking about now. Yeah, I saw that. I think that definitely was fan made.
No. It was posted on Natasha's blog.
Seriously? I should follow her blog.
No.
I'm so out of
You should so follow her blog. She is
what we're talking about is an image of what appears to be a storyboard panel or something that looks as though it could have been pitched officially because it's on her blog, but we can't say anything about it because it was just posted with no background of anything. It's just a picture of Marsha Lee and Fiona like free falling out of the air with blood and tears.
Oh my, I'm gonna have to look this up.
Yeah, I need to see this. I can't believe I haven't seen this before. for. I love Marshall Lee.
Mm-hmm. Hey, man, I love Marshall Lee, and I'm a dude. I'm a straight dude, and I love Marshall Lee. I run my fingers through that hair, man.
There's no shame
there
in
is.
That.
I found it.
I have no shame in admitting that.
So are we wrapping up soon or something?
Yeah. Yeah, let's go ahead and wrap it up.
We are a little
question time then.
Yeah, Chrissy, go ahead and read our one answer to the question that we got.
Restate the question.
Let me open it.
The question was, what was your favorite season 3 episode and why?
Okay. Downcast Knight, as in like a K with a K, said, good job on the podcast. About your question at the end, I think my favorite part of season 3 was the episode What Was Missing. Not just because of the obvious Marcy / PB shipping, but because it was the only one where Marcy, Finn, Jake, and PB were shown all together that close as friends. Especially how at the end it turned out Marceline didn't have anything stolen from her, and she just wanted to hang out with them. I really enjoyed the theme of the episode overall, and I also think that Finn's song was close to, or just as powerful as Marcy's. I mean, he was asking what the people he's closest to thought of him, and dealing with the insecurities about being younger than everyone else. I guess it resonated with me because I'm a sucker for that true friendship junk. I've never really had a friend that close, so I always get extra warm and fuzzy from that stuff. Well, I guess I'm done hemorrhaging my feelings all over the internet for now. Once again, you guys did a very nice job with the podcast. And Downcast, okay, that was the answer. Downcast Night, we love that answer. That answer is a beautiful answer, and we want all of your feelings. We love it.
We love it.
Yes, we do.
That was so sweet.
That was adorable. Oh my god. So eloquently worded.
It was lovely.
I'm making little hand hearts at my screen for that answer.
Okay, this is the question for episode 3 that we want you all to answer, lovely viewers. What do you, if there is another gender bent episode, what do you want to see in it? What do you want to happen in that episode more than anything else? And alternatively, because we're all a bunch of fans in here, what's your favorite ship? Tell us. We want to know.
Sugarless God.
Snow Bunny.
Awkward.
Anyway.
So should we sign off now?
Yeah, let's go ahead and wrap this up real quick.
Okay.
So, this is the ending of the second episode of the Ooh Travel Guide. I would like to thank all of my guests. If you would each like to sign off one at a time without talking over each other, good luck.
Anyway, thank you guys again for having me. It's always a pleasure to talk to you guys about Adventure Time and hear what you have to say. And hopefully we get some fan responses because it was excellent reading Downcast Knight's response. So thank you very much, guys. Till next time.
Yay, thank you.
Thanks for having me again, you guys. I hope to be here next week or whenever we record the next podcast. And I hope we get lots of answers to our questions. Until then, take care, everybody, lovely listeners and fellow travel guiders. Goodbye.
Yay.
Thanks, Kat, for having me on here. And thanks for everybody for dealing with all my weird voice. I'm kind of a little sick. It's always been a pleasure to be on the show. And I'm glad that I was back for a second round. And if I'm here the third time, I will dance in my seat. Till next time, guys. Thanks for having me.
Okay. Go for it, Becca.
All right. Well, thank you guys for having me. I'm sorry. I'm a little bit of an introvert. I don't talk too much. But it was very enjoyable being with you guys. And I hope to hear more from the shippers and the for them to answer the questions. And I hope to have another podcast with you guys. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you bet.
It was a ton of fun to be here. I very much enjoy doing the podcast and talking to you guys about all this stuff. I hope to see you guys all next time. I'm Bow Boy. Bye.
Alrighty.
Bye, guys.
What time is it? It's podcast time.
You're so exactly.
Cute, Chrissy. I love you, Chrissy.
Okay,
love. And this is the outro message for the Ooh Travel Guide.
I'm not sure what I'm supposed to say other than reiterating that this is a podcast made entirely by fans who are not in any way affiliated with Cartoon Network, Frederator Studios, or any of the actual staff who works on the show. Just fans. Nerds. Geeks. Please visit the official Tumblr page for more information, theoohtravelguide.tumblr.com. Yeah, and ooh has three O's, sweetheart. Like, ooh, it's pretty cute. Join us again next week. Thanks for listening. We love you. No, really, we love you.